Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Way UK podcast. My name is Zenya and joining me on the podcast today is...
Jesse.
And Michelle.
Come on. And we are continuing our little series that we've been sitting in, talking about the theme of generosity. Mm-hmm. Yep. We've been talking about a few different themes and I guess categories about how we can be more generous as people, as Christians. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to be talking about the topic of sharing faith.
Mm. Yo.
I mean, we kind of share our faith a lot on the way. Like, we talk about Jesus on the streets with people.
Right.
On this podcast, we share our faith. But I think it'd be really interesting to kind of hear how you guys think about sharing faith. Like, not just as, you know, part of the Way team, but like for you as an individual, like, what do you think about sharing faith? I don't know if we've ever spoken about...
Yeah, I mean,
what do you think about sharing faith?
It's a funny thing, sharing your faith, because it's not often put into the category of generosity.
Yeah.
Like, when you hear the word generosity, you often think of giving money, you think of giving time, serving.
Yeah.
But often we don't think about the fact that this message that we carry, this gospel, this truth of Jesus is, in a sense, a really high, valuable thing that we can also give and be generous with. And that's what sharing your faith is. It's like giving the love of Jesus and being generous with the love of Jesus and the message of Jesus.
Yeah.
Which is why we've kind of included it in this generosity series. I'm excited for it. Excited to get into it.
Me too. I want to ask you guys, like, I guess your relationship with sharing your faith, has that changed over time? Or like maybe now, because we share our faith pretty much like every week, right? And I think we can get comfortable in how we share our faith because we do it so often, but maybe when you were younger or like a baby Christian, when you started sharing your faith then to sharing your faith now, do you think there's a bit of a difference? Do you see sharing your faith different now? I just want to know your thoughts.
I would say so. I feel like it's developed over the years. When I was just a new Christian, I think I had that first like zeal where I was like, everyone needs to know. So then I would be like sort of super bold with my conversations that I'd have with people, but then like near the middle it got a little bit less. I would like speak about my faith less to like new people, people I knew that weren't Christians, because I was like afraid of what they'd say. Because I had the fear of man, and I would be like, okay, wait, I don't know whether they'd think this is relevant. I don't know whether they'd like actually respond to it well. But now I feel like, because I feel like I've got a more history with the Lord and like a deeper understanding of the importance of sharing our faith and how much I've benefited and grown so much in freedom and in love and in just like identity in myself that I can see like, oh my gosh, others really need to know this, because not only have I changed from it, others can also change from it too. So I suppose that's sort of the journey that I've been on with sharing my faith. But
yeah, that's great. No, I think similarly, my journey with sharing faith is kind of shaped over the years and looks different each year. I know when I was very young, my mum tells me stories of me when I was like 11 years old, 12 years old, and I just start conversations about faith in cars and stuff like that, which is very sweet.
Oh, sick.
Childlike faith, hey?
Come on.
And then over the past couple of years, I've definitely been on more journeys in terms of how I share my faith, and it's looked very different over the years. I'd say when I first moved to London and was doing all this street evangelism with The Way and was encountering the Holy Spirit and the person of Jesus and Jesus's love in very profound ways. And I was so excited and I was energized, and how I was on the street reflected that. Like, I was always taking evenings off just to go share my faith. I'd take it out my own time, which is very cool. And I saw lots of amazing stories from that. And then this year I've honestly been more mentally exhausted, if I'm being honest, and spiritually tired. And so the longing to go out and pour out on the streets. And what I mean by that is like give out energy and give time to and work really hard.
Right.
And talk to loads of random strangers on the street actually felt like quite a big cost for me. Mm. And it felt quite tiring, the thought of doing that. And I don't think that's specifically bad, because that doesn't mean that my sharing faith journey stopped. That's not what happened. What happened was I began to share faith with, in lots of different environments, like with family or with friends. Mm. If I'd met up with anyone who was a Christian or not a Christian, the conversation would always land in the love of Jesus. And that's just my story, because I look to Jesus with everything I do. I love Jesus and I act out of that place. So naturally, anywhere I have a conversation,
so good,
it's going to go towards Jesus's love. And so for me, it hasn't looked as much as the bold on the street, crazy prophesying on the street and praying for healing on the street. There has been that, and there has been time for that. But this year, I've just, as I said, been more tired, and God's moved in different ways for me.
Mm.
He's moved in family conversations. He's moved in friendship conversations.
Mm.
And that has been a process to go on with God. Because I feel like I've felt shame for that at points. Mm. And also, felt insecure for that at points. Because you look back to how you used to do it and think it's really cool. And so we can talk about that in a minute.
Let's get vulnerable.
Like the definition of successful sharing your faith and stuff like that we'll go into a bit. But there's a little bit of backstory over the years.
You know, I think that's so real. And like for me, when I first came to faith, actually even before I came to faith, when I was like going Catholic school, doing my thing, thinking that I knew Jesus or I knew God or what this whole thing was, I always thought like faith is to be kept in. Like you don't really share your faith, or you don't like provoke that discussion. It's like your personal thing. Like you just keep that at home and go about it. Or like if you find somebody else that's a Christian, then oh great, like you guys can chat about Jesus, but like just for you guys, like for no one else. I don't know why I thought that. I feel like there was this, maybe almost this like shame around like talking about what you believe. And I think even in the world we live in now, it's really hard to say what you believe, because almost when you say what you believe, it's almost like you're putting down somebody else's belief. And that's, I guess, what the world can make you feel like sharing your faith is. And I think I definitely fell into that. But I think as I've gotten older and more mature in my faith and I've walked with Jesus a lot more, I've realized that it's not a shameful thing to tell people what you believe, because it's so real to you and there's a real joy and an excitement about it. But I think what you were talking about, you know, going on the streets and talking to people and giving it a lot of energy, I think the Lord delights when we share our faith. But I think there's two ways. There's like the talking about Jesus, but there's also the demonstrating Jesus and how you live.
Yeah.
And that can also be just as powerful in a way of sharing your faith. So for me, I always try to make sure that even with my behaviors, like there might be certain seasons where I'm like really complaining a lot. And I notice it, but then I journey with the Lord and I work on that. And I want people around me to notice that the Lord is correcting me and he's refining me and he's transforming me. So they can also share witness to that and be like, wow, you've changed. Like, how? And I'd be like, because of Jesus. Mm. And like, that's another way of sharing your faith as well. Like sometimes we can tell people and like we can tell them scripture or tell them experience, but we can also show them with our lifestyle. Like, oh, this is where the Lord's taken me. And that can also be just as powerful.
Mm.
One of my cousins is like really sharing his faith a lot now, and it's awesome. And he sent me a text message the other day and he was like, there's this guy at my school that asked me about Jesus. And I was really interested. Why? Because have you seen the way that he lives? Like, how can he want to know about Jesus? How is his heart even opening to Jesus? Like, that's crazy. Even he can change. And when he said that, it really made me think, like, when he's going about his life, reading his Bible, he doesn't even notice that other people notice.
Yeah.
Like Jesus is on his life and Jesus is marking him. And just by like having one or two conversations at school, it made somebody else curious to be like, oh, there's something that you have that I don't have just by virtue of how you're living. So it really made me think like, yeah, how we demonstrate Jesus, people notice.
Yeah, it's good.
And it sticks out. And that's another way to share faith. But I guess in the context of this conversation, it'd be good to like look at what Jesus says about sharing faith or look at some passages in scripture, because you know you always want to be rooted in the Bible.
Mm.
And when we were prepping, I guess there was like two scriptures that really stood out. There's this classic one that I think if you've been in church for a while, if you know any scriptures in the Bible, Matthew 28 stands out, you know, go and make disciples of all nations, which we will touch on and we'll get to. But there's a scripture in the book of Daniel that I thought was really, really interesting. And just to give some context, there's a guy called Daniel, and he's living in a time where the Babylonians have taken over, and they were like, I guess, like an enemy territory that was like suppressing the people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really hard living in that, I guess, oppressed environment. And he was walking so closely with God, and God was giving him dreams. And in one of his dreams, he saw like a storm, and he saw like some creatures. It's really interesting. Read it in Daniel 7. It's like wild. Mm. And one of the things that he talks about is he saw a man, and he's describing Jesus. And I'll just read it really, really quickly. It says, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed.
Mm.
And I thought it was really interesting, and that might be like a really obscure scripture to find, but the Old Testament is full of examples of Jesus. Like, Jesus is present in the Old Testament. And I think sometimes we can stick in the New Testament and get really excited about, you know, the Gospels, but hey, he's talking about Jesus. And the really, really cool thing is when he talks about the dominion and the glory and the kingdom.
Yeah.
And we see that exact same language in Matthew 28, the
so
scripture
good.
That we all know and love, when Jesus says to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations. But it also says that Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, which is the exact same thing that it says in Daniel, which to me is cool, because it shows that Jesus is who he says he is. Like, and we know where this authority is coming from, because we know that Jesus is God. So that authority is coming from God. And Jesus is like, hey, I'm here. Like, I give you this authority that was given to me. Go out into the world and share your faith. And I just think that's really encouraging. Like, we know the source of where the authority comes from. It comes from God. And we know that Jesus is God, and we can be sure and confident in that. I don't know. That was just some of the thoughts that I was thinking.
Yeah. Just on the back of what you said around, like, Jesus giving us the authority. I was reminded of a scripture in John 14, verse 12, that says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I just have so much hope in that. And I think something that we could probably all take from is the fact that we can trust that God can do the same or even greater things than what Jesus did in the Bible, like the miracles that Jesus did and he performed and set people free physically, spiritually, mentally. Like, we can see that happen when we share our faith with others too and pray for people. Like, and hopefully that's like an encouragement for us to like want to see God do that and share our faith. But
that's great. And I love the Daniel picture. The Daniel language, because it reminds me of other scriptures. Let me read Daniel one more time. It says that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed. And that kind of like language of every tribe, nation, tongue. You read it again in Revelation 7.
Yeah.
And it says, after this I looked, and before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And I think we can look at this topic of sharing your faith and feel lots. We can feel pressure from it, like, oh, it's something I should be doing.
Yeah, sorry.
We should feel chores from it, like, oh, I should be doing, like, tick the box.
Yeah.
We can feel shame from it. Oh, I haven't done it well. Like, we can feel on fire for it. Like, wow, I've got so much love. I want to share the love. But we can forget that the essence of sharing our faith is to see more like the tribes, nations, peoples, and tongues in eternity, in heaven.
That's good.
This is the point. We're not just wasting breath. This is of like importance. And it doesn't mean that again, to add to that pressure and shame, like you have to go out and sell everything and stand on a box on the street with a big cardboard sign which says "Turn or Burn." Like that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that the heart of sharing your faith is to sow into heaven.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's because God has created a kingdom that shall not pass away, and there is a longing on Jesus's part to see us all with him in heaven. And there is this deep desire in God's own heart, which is to see his sons and daughters come back to him. And we are simple, tiny vessels that play a piece.
Yeah.
In that picture.
Come on. You got there.
Of bringing people back home. And that is
so
it.
Good.
That is the love. That is
the
essence of sharing faith, that we may see every tribe, nation, people, and tongue. But more than we can count, come before Jesus. It's cool.
That's really cool.
It's good. It's good to remember. This is why we do it. We don't just do it to check the box. We do it because God is desperate to meet with his sons and daughters.
And that was the very essence of, like, that was just his heart. God's heart is to have his children live in eternity with him in his love. Like, I was also reminded of John 3:16, the classic. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God's very incentive for Jesus to come was so that we could have this relationship with him and to live in eternity, because the life that we're going to live on this earth is so short compared to the time in eternity. And if we compare, we can't compare the two, because it's just so big. So this is why it's like, this is good news. We are spreading the good news so that people can live and experience and truly, like, be just to know who they are and whose they are, because there is something greater waiting for all of us. After this earth, we don't take anything with us, like it says, like, don't store your treasures here on this earth, but rather store your treasures in heaven, because I don't know where I'm going with it, but it just goes to show that heaven is a real place, and God just wants to lavish his love on his children, and not everyone, like, his heart is for everyone to know him.
So good. And I think, just to kind of, I guess, marry what both of you guys have said together, you know, in the scripture it says to go and make disciples. I think we can read that and be like, oh God, I want to be a part of, you know, seeing that picture of heaven where people of every tribe and nation and tongue, like, I want to be a part, and I want, Lord, I want you to, like, use me. Like, I want to be a part of it, but, like, I don't know, maybe I don't know the Bible enough. I feel like I don't know the Bible enough, or, like, maybe I feel like, oh God, I haven't walked with you enough. So, like, what do I know? Or, like, oh, maybe this person's going to reject me. Like, God, I'm not really sure. I don't have what it takes. And I've definitely felt that at times. Like, God, like, I don't have enough to share my faith. And I think about the disciples. They probably felt the same way too. Like, in that moment when Jesus is telling you, hey guys, now you see what I've done? Go and do it. Like, the way I've been telling people about the Father, go and tell people about the Father. And they probably sat there, and some of them probably thought, like, I don't know if I've got what it takes. But I love this, because Jesus just says, go. Like, he, in them being enough, being who they are, being made in the image of God, being made as sons of God, as daughters of God, just go. Like, you are enough to share your faith. And I think that's so, like, releasing for me to think, you know, it's not up to me. It's all on Jesus. And even the make disciples part is, like, he's doing the making, you know, like, when people become disciples, they're going on a journey of learning with God. And that's the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit doing that. That's not me. So when I'm sharing my faith with someone, it's like, I can plant this seed, as we like to say that language, I can plant this seed, but I don't need to grow it, because that's Jesus's job. Like, that's what God's going to do.
So good.
And so, like, maybe you're feeling a lot of pressure about sharing your faith, whoever's listening, but, like, take heart. Like, God's doing it. God's doing the stuff. He just wants you to take that first step.
And I think, actually, just on the back of that, sharing your faith can be as easy as sharing your testimony, your story, and how God has, like, impacted your life, what God is doing in your life. Like, I think we can often overcomplicate it and think that, oh no, I need to, you know, have this really good script, solid script full of like these Bible verses that I need to like recite every time I speak to someone about my faith. But really, I think it's easier than that. I think it's simpler than that. Mm. We could just share.
I agree.
Like one, just what's one thing God's told you? What has he really done in your heart? What's that marking moment that you've had with Jesus? It doesn't have to be this extravagant big thing where you've like, you know, seen an angel or had an angelic like experience. Like it could just easily as be as like feeling his peace, feeling his love.
That's powerful.
And that can really be powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. I think there's so many places we can go with this conversation and there's so much that I really want to get into. But we're going to try and break it down into like, I guess, bite-sized pieces and maybe give you guys some food for thought about sharing your faith and talk about some of the realities that we face of sharing our faith. And I think I'd love to start with how sharing your faith can feel very costly.
Yeah.
Like it can feel like you're giving out a lot or you're sacrificing a lot, like sharing your faith in school. That's costly. Mm. Like when you're in school, you want to fit in, you know, go to school, have your friends, make everything great, you know, be nice to people and all that stuff. But I think when you're sharing your faith and maybe you're the only Christian in your school, that can feel very like, hey, yo, I'm giving a lot. Mm. Like I have to sacrifice my reputation here. Or at times I have to sacrifice like saying the right things to fit in or sacrificing just your time. Like God might be saying, hey, go and speak to that person. And you're like, right. Oh God, I'd rather be doing something else. You know, I think sharing your faith can feel at a cost. Have you guys ever, I guess, experienced that yourselves, of the cost of sharing your faith?
Yeah, it can feel costly and sacrificial. Like this year.
Yeah, yeah.
It has felt that for me. I've felt really tired and I've found it hard to find motivation to share my faith outside of when we do the videos because I feel tired. More than some years, and there's a multitude of reasons for that, and there's lots that can come up with that. But one thing that I love about God is his celebration of one. I was just thinking when you were speaking about how it describes when one person becomes a Christian as like they throw a party in heaven.
Yeah,
it's like over one sinner, we throw a celebration in heaven. And I think our measurement of success is very different to God's.
Yeah.
Because he was speaking into a context, they were like, 100 righteous people can do it wrong, but one sinner who turns to God truly and loves God, that's what success is. And so our measurement would look to the 100 righteous people, be like, wow, that was amazing. But actually God works differently. And so with me feeling a bit more tired when it comes to this thing, And lots of questions spark up with that, like, oh, am I still doing okay? Am I a good Christian? Does that mean that I'm not successful as a Christian? And then you look on Instagram and it's filled with hundreds of amazing influencers and Christian evangelists who are killing it and who are seeing profound things on the street.
Yeah.
And you look internally and you're like, that does not look like my story. My story looks like I'm going to work really tired and kind of crashing and then coming back to work the next day and then crashing again afterwards. And that's been the year. And
so real, bro.
And I don't think that God would trade me and risk me burning out just so he could see more salvation. Not because I'm like being really big headed, but I think God really loves us.
Yeah.
And his desire is not that we will fall flat on our face and burn out and walk away from God. I think he would much rather us as be healthy with him than us walk away and spread the gospel in an unhealthy way and then see other people saved. Not that seeing people saved is bad. Again, don't hear what I'm not saying. But I just don't think that he's a God of trading. He won't make us burn out so that he can see more salvation.
Like yeah.
He deeply cares about us and he's in every difference, every circumstance. If we're going through a season where it actually feels harder and you're feeling a bit more burnt out, hey man, that's okay. God is still just as with you and can work through you in many different ways.
Right.
And you can share the love of Jesus in many different ways. That's kind of what we're trying to break down a little bit here.
Yeah.
The way that we share our faith doesn't have to be so... cookie cutter perfect. It doesn't look a certain way. It doesn't look like how the way UK do it, or the amazing other people like Bryce Crawford or Stuart and Nicol and Cliff. It's like, it doesn't have to look like these guys.
Right.
Actually, God is a circumstantial God, and he comes alongside us wherever we are in our life.
Mm.
And so that really helped me, because I used to feel so much pressure with sharing my faith. And I used to feel, honestly, unworthy of God, because I wasn't doing enough. But the gospel is not one of doing. The gospel is one of receiving.
Come on.
And maybe that's a very specific story relating to a very specific person. But if you feel like you just have to do loads for God and you're feeling overwhelmed by that, maybe it's time to stop doing and just look to God a bit more. Spend that time that you're doing things and being busy, being still, and see God there. Because that's the only thing that will sustain you. The busyness won't sustain you.
Mm.
God will. And if you're losing God in the busyness, then stop the busyness. Come back to God. That's a very specific word and a very specific message, but it's one that I've been feeling.
Good. You sharing your faith doesn't have to look like you naming all these people, these great people who are sharing their faith and faith and showing it online. You can see it in a big measure how they're having a huge impact on multiple people. It just gets me thinking about that mum that's at home with her kids. And she doesn't have much time and she's busy, but then she only has 15 minutes to give a friend a call and tell her about how she's, going through all these things with her kids and her family. But then she's still holding on to hope, being like, no, but I feel like God's going to get me through this. That's still her sharing her faith. So it can look really different for different people. So,
and even with her kids.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Faith, yeah.
So I just wanted to say that.
It's good.
But for myself, I think at the moment it feels really costly. I'm getting a bit emotional. Because I feel a little bit angry at myself. I wish I could share my faith more. Oh my gosh. This is so unexpected.
Wow.
I wish I could share my faith more the way that I used to be able to.
Right.
And I wish I was better at it, really. I wish I was better at being able to share the gospel with people and not overthink it and be like, oh no, but I need to be able to incorporate everything so that they really know the full measure of how loved they are and how they're really bought at a price, a costly price. So it just makes me I can get really angry with myself, frustrated, because I'm I wish I could share my faith more. I wish I could tell people about Jesus because of how good he is and how he's changed and transformed my life. And it makes me quite sad that I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
And it feels like I can't. I feel like I can't, because it feels like it takes a lot to be able to.
Yeah.
Or to do it. So I guess that's a bit answer from me.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing that, because I also feel like over the last few months I've just been a bit overthinky with the sharing of your faith. Do you ever feel like when God tells you, go and speak to that person, or hey, go and send this person a text, and then you're but was that really God's? Maybe I was making it up, or oh, that feels a bit awkward. Maybe that's not God, because, God wouldn't make me feel awkward. And you just go in your whole brain and you're trying to almost talk yourself out of it.
Yeah.
But it so clearly was God. You just don't want to do it because you I want to hold on to my convenience or what makes me feel good. And I definitely feel like there are times where I put my own feelings and I guess my selfish kind of I'm good right now, above having a semi-awkward conversation, but what could that lead to? And I feel that sometimes, and I don't know why I do it. Maybe it's because I'm human. Maybe it's because I, just in my humanity, I'd rather be okay with just, going about my life. But then I realized that, it was an inconvenience for Jesus to go to the cross. And not to make it so doom and gloom, but it was the biggest inconvenience for God to save me. So that, why am I trapped in my convenience that right. I can't go and speak to someone that God's asking me to speak to? Yeah. And that really wrecks me. And it really wrecks me because I'm like, God cares about everyone. And like you said, like, he wants people to hear about the gospel because he has a plan and a purpose for every single human being created under the sun. But because we're so, well, I'm so in my Jesus bubble and I'm good with Jesus, I can get lost in that.
Yeah.
And I don't step out. So I feel like this is like speaking to me of like, bro, like, when God tells you to speak to someone, just go and do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, it might be awkward, but two mm-hmm. seconds of it being awkward is nothing compared to what could happen, you know?
Totally.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And it's again, it's like, you go through seasons, but it's also a muscle. And if you've never entered a time when you have shared your faith lots, it's a small muscle, because it's very uncomfy.
True.
To go and speak to people, and that awkwardness, you're not drawn to it. Like, it's not like when you're experiencing 2 seconds of awkwardness, like you're speaking about, it's not like your heart then comes alive when there's awkwardness comes. No, it's awful. It feels horrible. Like, let's be honest.
He wants to sit in that. Nope.
But.
Yeah.
But you can grow that muscle.
It's good. Yeah.
And you can learn, just like going to the gym. If you see it, spiritual muscles is the same as physical muscles. Mm. You have to go to the gym and you have to like work on a muscle and like push it to its limit and then let it time to grow slightly. And then you push it to its limit again and then you feed it and let it grow again. And in order for us to break past going from 0 to 100 in terms of sharing our faith, sometimes we're stuck in the 0 to 5 area, and you do just have to begin to stretch that muscle a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then suddenly the awkwardness doesn't get as hard. Then suddenly it becomes more familiar and it becomes easier. And those who are faithful with a little are faithful with much. Like, you're trusted with much and you see much more happen when you begin to grow into it. And also, you know, with the kind of partnership with the Holy Spirit, because the furthest thing we want to do is just be like, just get over yourself and like, don't listen to what God's calling, just do. That's a message of works, and that's not what we're trying to do. But what we're saying is, if you come in collaboration with the Spirit, listen to what the Spirit says.
Yeah.
There is a bit on our part, which is responding to that and growing that muscle.
Yeah. And I think it can ebb and flow through seasons, where there might be a season where you feel like going out on the streets and speaking to strangers feels like where the Holy Spirit's leading you. Or sometimes it can even simply like a season where like praying for people in your community or telling, like, encouraging them through the season they're going through, or sitting with people through a difficult time can be ways of sharing your faith too. Like, it doesn't have to, anyways. I just think it ebbs and flows through seasons, and we can't, like you're saying, it's not all works. Like, God, he cares so much about us, and he loves us deeply that he wouldn't want us to just, like you said, fall flat on our face and burn out.
Yeah.
Because we're just like, no, but, you know, I need to go share my faith. There is an aspect of, you do need to share your faith, but hey, also you do need rest. Like, you are a human too.
Yeah.
Can't pour out of an empty cup.
Come on.
Dude, it's literally written on our board.
Yeah,
then it says rest well underneath it.
Yeah.
So good.
I think what you're saying, Michelle, is so good about, like, you know, the call that you need to rest as well. And in the Gospels, when we look at Jesus's life, he often rested, like, he spent time alone with the Father first before he went out and did anything, you know. He spent so much time with God, was filled up from the place of, you know, prayer, or the secret place that we might say, like, his personal relationship with God. He was filled up, and then from that place, sharing his faith was like an overflow. Love an that. Overflow of what God was already doing, and an overflow of what he was feeling in his heart. And I guess, like, another thing I'd love for us to talk about is, like, what does that actually look like to have a heart like Jesus for the people that we are sharing our faith to? Like, what does it look like to have a Christ-like heart? Mm. And one of the scriptures we was looking at before we were, I guess, kind of planning this episode was Mark 1, of the story of Jesus healing the man with leprosy. And it says in Mark 1:41, It says, then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And it's the fact that Jesus, you know, in other translations, it says like his bowels were moved with compassion. Like the compassion was so deep in his body, like it physically moved him to the point where he was like, I have to step out and heal this person.
Yeah.
Because I feel so deeply that they need a touch of God, and I feel so deeply that they need to know the truth, that they are loved and that they are clean. I'm going to touch out my hand and heal him. And in that time, like, leprosy was like a huge thing. Like, you didn't touch somebody that had leprosy, then you would be unclean. Nobody would talk to you. But Jesus, again, it's the, he sacrificed what was convenient to him. Like, it costed him everything to touch that man, but he knew that that man needed everything. Like, he needed it. And so I guess my question for you guys is like, as we're sharing our faith or growing in that muscle, like you were talking about, like, how do we grow that heart to see others the way that Christ saw them? How do we grow compassion? How do we do that?
I love that scripture so much. I love that it didn't say Jesus remembered like this scripture, which said that he can heal. And it's he needs to do this in the name of Jesus. And then he healed someone. He didn't look back to commandments, which made him respond in sharing himself and sharing his faith and sharing his love. What made him do it, what moved him, was compassion. Was genuinely what I believe the heart of God, because I see Jesus as God, and the heart of God was compassionate.
Yeah.
And the question we're asking and kind of like figuring out is, how do we partner and understand and feel the heart of God like God? How do we do it? Because that is what fueled and strengthened Jesus in his entire ministry, was being moved by the heart of God in compassion and by the Holy Spirit in compassion. He was able to do this because the Holy Spirit came through the heavens and rested on him like a dove and empowered him, as we'll talk about. And how do we learn the heart of God? It's a big question, one that we all should ask. And if I was to give any sort of attempt at a response to how do we learn the heart of God, I say it so often, but you spend time with God and you are changed by God. You spend time looking to God and you begin to act like God. You begin to feel like God. For some reason, the story that comes to mind is Abraham. And there's this story in Genesis 18 when God says that he's going to destroy Sodom, because Sodom is a really sinful place. It's a really horrible place. You kind of see that sometimes in the Old Testament when things are really bad. God just wipes it, which is like wild. We'll unpack the Old Testament another day. But what you see is Abraham ends up alone with God, and Abraham's actually quite frustrated with God. He gets annoyed at God, which, if you don't know, you're allowed to do. You're allowed to like rant to God and be annoyed and be confused. That's what it is to be human. Jesus was asking questions to God. But he says, do you know, I'll paraphrase because it's so long. Basically, Abraham's like, oh, God, am I allowed to challenge you? Okay, I will. What if there's 50 righteous people in Sodom? Will you spare it? And God's like, yeah, I would. And Abraham keeps testing him. He's like, what if there's 45? Will you spare it? God's like, yes. And he goes all the way down and he's at 10 and he's like, God, if there's even 10 people, will you spare this city? And God is like, yes, I will spare the city, because I care about anyone who is righteous. The thing that I'm trying to eliminate is sin. And if there's any light or righteousness in there, I'm not going to do it. And there's something about the heart of Christ that I think was imparted into Abraham in that moment. And what I mean by that is Abraham spent time with God, talking directly to God on a mountain. And what was his response? It was one of intercession. It's described as Abraham intercedes for Sodom. His response is to cry out for justice and for the love of God to come to a city. His response is to fight for those that are at their worst. And I think that's God's heart. I think Abraham begins to act like God in that moment, and he begins to long for mercy.
Love that.
And that is the heart of God. Mm. And what I learn from that is, wow, when I spend time with God, I begin to act like God, and I begin to cry out for themes that are of God's character, like mercy, right, like Abraham in that time. And so how do you partner with God and become more aware and attentive to what the Holy Spirit is doing? You learn about him and you spend time with him,
yeah,
through the Bible and through the, yeah, presence of God.
Yeah, just on the back of what you said, Jesse, I just have two other things on what we could like practically do, mm-hmm, to learn to have the heart like Christ for his people is by prayer, mm, and reading the Bible. Like you are, you know, reading from Genesis and talking about the heart of God for his people. And it's the same if you read throughout the Bible. Like, for example, in Psalms, in the beginning, David is praying out for justice. God's heart is for justice.
Yeah.
And then later on, in throughout the whole Gospels and the New Testament, you can see his compassion, like you said, when, mm, where you read, and his love for his people and his hope that he's trying to give his people. Like, it's saturated in here, the heart of God.
Mm.
So if you read your word and you pray, God, give me eyes to see and ears to hear, help me, like, break my heart for what break, like,
yeah,
what breaks yours.
Wow.
Through prayer, so much can happen. Mm. We might, yes, it's really good to have practical things to do, but also we are spiritual beings. You can ask the Holy Spirit, the very gift that Jesus has given us, God, give me eyes to see your, mm, people the way you see them. Give me ears to hear what they are really crying out for. Like,
it's good.
Yeah, I just,
yeah, it's great.
Like that.
Yeah, it's like that scripture in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him." The Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People, mm, look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Right.
And I feel like without knowing God, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I've learned and I've spent time with Jesus, mm-hmm, and I've learned his heart, like I see, God sees things different to how we see them. And so even when it's like with sharing our faith, sometimes you may think like, oh, why would I share it with that person?
Right.
But like God sees their heart. God doesn't, yeah, see
that's
the,
right,
mistakes they've made, or
that's right,
what the world sees. God sees the soul, the individual,
yeah,
the, like Jesse says, almost like the one out of the 99, like he'll leave the 99 for the one. Like that's, yeah, the God that we serve. Yeah. Like that's who he is. And I also think off of what Jesse was saying, my pastor in church, he was saying this all last year, like you become what you behold.
Yes.
You know, and like, oh, yeah, the more we focus on Jesus and, true, we behold him. And what I mean by behold is just looking at him, thinking about, yeah, him, meditating about him, contemplating like, who is this Jesus? Like reading, mm, the Bible. The more we look at Jesus, the more we start to become that. Because, mm, as we start to look at him and we look at his heart and his love and his compassion, then we start to love and we start to be, yeah, compassionate, mm, and,
yeah,
we start to be more forgiving and we start to be merciful.
Mm.
And I even think of like Jonah, in the story of Jonah, which we actually did a podcast series on last year. So if you haven't seen it, check it out. It was really good.
Small
and I'm not
plug.
Just saying it was really good because we did it, but it was really good. And in the story, if you don't know, just a quick summary, God tells Jonah, hey, there's this city called Nineveh. There's these people and I really want to give them a warning. Like I want to spend time with them and I want to know them. You're a prophet. Hey, I know you, Jonah. Can you go and speak to them? And Jonah's like, those people,
mm,
no way. And then he runs away.
Mm.
And I think we can often think, oh, why did Jonah run away? Was he scared? Like, da da da.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just because he didn't have the same heart God had for those people.
Yeah, he hadn't caught it yet.
He didn't, right, see them the way that God saw them.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
And if he saw those people the way that God saw them, would he have been moved with compassion to run, like drop everything,
right,
and run to Nineveh and be like,
right,
hey, guys, God sees you. God loves you. God knows you.
Mm.
This is what he wants to tell you.
Mm.
So I think like, how do we develop the heart of Jesus? I think the more we spend time with him,
mm,
the more we spend time with him and the more we practice, like God will put us in situations where we will share our faith. And it's like, are you gonna step out?
Yeah.
Like God can fill you up, but he also wants that to overflow.
Right.
Will you allow that to overflow?
Mm.
Or will you just be like, you know what, Jesus, it's fine. I'm good.
Yeah, mm. And actually I often find just from my own life that God usually leads me through something first, or he teaches me a lesson oh, he does something in my heart that really impacts me. And then he then reverts it to other people where he's like, okay, so then you can do this for others too, because I've done it for you first.
Mm.
And I'm just like, what? That scripture where it says, we love because he first loved us.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just like, we have nothing to hold back from, because none of it is ours anyways.
Mm.
So
it's good.
We just have to freely give, freely love.
Yeah. And that's this whole thing. It's coming back to our perspective of generosity, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, he loved us first, so we can now love. It's like, this is such a good message.
Yeah.
Which has changed all of our lives. Probably if you're listening and you're a Christian, it's probably changed your life.
Yeah.
And what a privilege it is to be generous with what we do. And I think that last point we wanted to hit home, we've kind of talked about, you know, the difficulties about what it is to behold God and how that changes us. Our last point is kind of staying on the theme of following the Spirit, but being empowered as well.
Yeah.
Not just kind of listening out and learning what moves God, but also literally being strengthened and empowered by God.
It's good.
Which you also read about all throughout Scripture.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever felt weak, but have you felt weak before? Hands up. We're putting our hands up.
Two hands up.
My
feet are
definitely
up.
Definitely two hands. Feet up. Holy smokes. We, as humans, like, do fail, and we're so mortal, and we have pain and sorrow and weakness, which tires us. But we serve a God who is backwards and actually often comes alongside weakness empowers it rather than runs away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's it called? Survival of the fittest? I learned this in like year five science, where whoever the best like animal that evolves in time like becomes the leader.
Isn't that just survival of the fittest?
Survival of the fittest. I guess that works. They evolve over time, and whoever evolves quickest and strongest ends up being the dominant species, and then that's how evolution happens.
Yeah.
Boom. And that's how creatures evolve. But backwardly, what Jesus does is he sees weakness and he comes particularly close in it. Throughout the Bible, you see him associating with the lowly, with the weak, and he warps and changes our perspective of weakness and outward appearance, because what he really cares about is the heart. And so for us, when we're feeling weak, when we're feeling like we've got nothing to give, no strength, we can know that Jesus is particularly with us and is there to empower us by his Spirit to go out and do all these things. When he sent his disciples to go and do all this stuff, all these stories that we read about in Acts 2, where the Holy Spirit came out and 3,000 people became Christians, all this stuff comes from the Holy Spirit.
Really good.
It doesn't come from a great sermon that Peter gave. It came from the Holy Spirit coming and moving a nation. And so practically, how do we do this sharing faith thing well? We need to remember to constantly invite the Holy Spirit in.
Yeah. Really
we need
good.
To remember to constantly look to Jesus.
That's good.
Hey, Shakayana. Oh. Amen.
We are facilitators and the Holy Spirit does it.
Yeah.
It's true. And just to like talk about the empowerment, I think, you know, that scripture in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Like, a part of the word empowered is power, you know, it's to move in power. And Jesus has called us to go and make disciples and to spread our faith and to move in power. But if we go back to the scripture in Matthew 28:17, it says that when they saw him, when the disciples saw Jesus, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And I think doubt is so real. You know, I think a lot of us wrestle with doubt. I think last year I definitely wrestled a lot with doubt, not doubting who Jesus is, but doubting like, Lord, if I share my faith, like, will this person really receive it?
Dude, that's so real.
And if I share my faith, will I be all right?
Right.
You know, like there is a sense of doubt and I don't know. I love that even knowing that the disciples had doubt, Jesus still sent them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't disqualified because of their doubt.
No.
In fact, actually, you're more qualified.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't pick the most qualified people. Like, if you look throughout the Bible and even us, like, we're not the most qualified people to be sharing our faith, but we all know Jesus and that's enough.
Right.
Like, he's the one that qualifies us. So there's no pressure of like, I need to have everything figured out to share my faith. But actually you have received power because you have the Holy Spirit. That's enough. Yeah. That's all you need. So step out through the doubts, through the questions, step out and actually just share that.
Yeah.
Share that power with people because they need it.
It is an act of obedience by stepping out, but then also practice. It's a muscle, like you're saying. You just have to do it multiple times over and over again to be able to be good at it. And I was reminded of scripture, Zechariah 4:6. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." It's not by our power, not by our might, but it's by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So we can trust that God will do a work in the other person's heart as we release things through our mouth and we say the truth, as we declare truth over the person, as we share our faith with them. We can, there's a power behind it. The words that we say, it's the Holy Spirit, and we can trust that there's nothing that will go void and that God doesn't waste anything. So he will use everything that we say.
It's good.
And I guess that's the confidence, right?
Right.
I just remembered what the official term was for the science thing I was talking
about. What was it?
Natural
selection. Wow.
Survival of the fittest, my butt.
No, it's the same thing.
Is it? All right. Natural selection.
You're so smart.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
You know what? The Holy Spirit just brings all knowledge.
Empowered by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Real wisdom.
He empowered you to share that, just as he empowers us to share our faith.
Hey. Oof.
And so...
Oh, that's a word.
But also, we hope that you feel empowered to share your faith. Maybe as we've been journeying through this series, maybe God's like prompted people on your heart to share your faith with, or maybe share some of the things that we've been talking about. Why don't you step out, literally partner with the Holy Spirit, be like, okay, God, like, who do you want me to talk to? Who should I share my faith with? And step out and do it. Leave us a comment. Let us know, maybe if you tried sharing your faith, how did it go? We'd love to hear. And maybe like give somebody else in the comments some encouragement if they need help sharing their faith.
Yeah.
You know, we can stand alongside each other as Christians. But thank you guys so much for joining in on this episode with us. We loved having this conversation.
Yes.
And we hope it helped you too. And we will see you in the next episode.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bless
up. Bye, guys.